It was a tale of the 1-0s this week for Reading, as after losing out to Derby County in the points deduction derby in midweek, they bounced back with a spirited away win in Cardiff, with former Bluebird Junior Hoylett netting the winner in the Welsh wind and rain. The Royals are now up to 10th in the Championship table and 2 points off the playoffs heading into the international break, with Veljko Paunovic's turnaround certainly to be commended. Hello and welcome to episode 274 of the Tyler Stern podcast. My name is Ollie Allen, stepping in to host this week's show in the absence of Mark Mayo. And I am joined by two of the Tyler Stern's finest minds to go through the last week in the world of Reading FC. First up, it's assistant editor Adam Jones. How's it going, Adam?
Well, a scrappy 1-0 win at Cardiff. I don't think life can really get much better than that, to be honest.
That's what we love to see, getting these nitty-gritty 1-0 wins on the road, especially after all the goals that were flying in earlier in the season. And also joining me today is Ben Thomas, our view from a Durham writer. How's it going, Ben?
Yeah, really good. I'm actually quite buzzing to be back on with Adam. I haven't been on with Adam for ages, it seems like. So he's put everyone to shame with his articles over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, buzzing to be back on with him, and obviously you and Ollie, and talking about, you know, a reasonably positive week, I think, all in all.
Is this your first appearance of the season, Adam, I think, is it?
I think it might be, yeah. I think it's the debut of the season.
An honour and a win to talk about as well, which you might not have thought about earlier in the season as well. Well, before we get on to that fantastic win over Cardiff yesterday, a few notes as always. Thank you to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, for their continued support behind the scenes. Very much appreciated. Do go and check out all the stuff that they're producing, and likewise to all our Patreon followers and subscribers who donate monthly and weekly and whatever. Genuinely, as I say, always really, really much appreciated. Helps keep us motivated, helps, you know, keep the quality of the podcast, keep the quality of the website going. So if you do want to get involved, feel free to chip in as much or as little a month as you can. That's patreon.com/TylerStern. Genuinely, as I say, really, really appreciated to everyone who does that at the moment. And also, of course, a quick shout out to the Twitter newsletter that you can sign up for right now. Well, it's not actually a Twitter newsletter. You can sign up on Twitter, but it's our newsletter that goes out into your inboxes, your email inboxes every week. You can sign up on Twitter. If you just go to Tyler Stend on Twitter, just underneath our bio, there's a little button that's very easy to click and sign up for. Whack in your email address and you'll get all of the latest Reading FC news from the Tyler Stend's. All the match reports, the podcast, the opinion pieces, like the one that Adam did last week on the EFL and the contract situation. So all of that good stuff straight into your inbox if you sign up to our newsletter. As I say, go over to our Twitter page right now to sign up. Right then, here we go then. Let's get into the recap. We'll be looking at both the defeat to Derby and the win over Cardiff.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Yeah, first up then, chaps, just a brief mention of the Derby game on Wednesday night, a 1-0 defeat at Pride Park in the points deduction derby. Shinny's goal, a very strange goal to concede, really, in the first half, ahead of from sort of the edge of the box, looping over everybody and into the back of the net for Derby. As I say, I don't want to spend too much time on this. I think the first line of Harry Chaver's report for the Tyler Stern website was, if I could sum up that performance in one word, it would probably be meh, which I think is a very good summary indeed. It was just almost a game too far, really, for Reading. Obviously off the back of three consecutive wins, they come into this game not really looking like themselves, never really getting going, and to be honest, Adam, it was probably a game that Reading could have done without.
Yeah, I believe so. I think the second half kind of showed that, because I thought our first half was actually pretty decent. I mean, I was quite impressed actually with Hililovic. I thought he was half decent. You know, he may not have, you know, managed to score for us, but he, you know, he wasn't afraid of getting himself on the ball. So I was really impressed with that. Obviously, we had the shot from Rahman as well, who was pretty good. I think Deli Bashiri even had a shot, I think, after a 1-2 in the first half. So, you know, a lot of people, I think, were critical after that first half performance against quite a solid Derby side. But I wasn't really upset by that. I think the thing that I was kind of most upset by was the second half. And I guess that kind of, you know, that could be down to, you know, that being a game too far. But I was never expecting it to be shall we say, an easy affair against a Wayne Rooney side that actually started the season off, you know, pretty decently before their points deduction. So no, I wasn't expecting it to be, you know, an easy game. I think I may have even predicted a draw on that one, but yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be an easy game. So yeah, I didn't really overreact. And it's kind of, I think it's nice sometimes not to overreact to a defeat. And this is one definitely that I didn't. And, you know, it kind of, it kind of paid us back on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw definitely on Wednesday night sort of the spirit and the desire that I'm sure Derby will show throughout this season. You know, yes, they've had their points deduction for administration already and are probably going to get another one for financial irregularities. So, you know, probably will be down, but certainly we saw on Wednesday night that they are going to be a match for most teams this season with the togetherness and the spirit they showed. And obviously that's the same sort of togetherness and spirit that Reading showed on Saturday. But yeah, I think it was just, as I say, it was a game that Reading never really got going in. Injuries perhaps probably caught up with them. And as you say, I think, you know, ultimately we lost on Wednesday, but it was always going to be the case that if we reacted well, if we won against Cardiff on Saturday, then that Derby defeat would all be forgotten. And thankfully it was, as Reading did go to South Wales yesterday afternoon and claim a 1-0 win against Mick McCarthy's Bluebirds. The lineup, a bit of a surprise to see Liam Moore back fit, coming back into centre-back. He replaced Dejan Tetek, who he himself got injured in the Derby game, while Junior Hoylett came in for Alan Hilovich, who also was injured. So I think we've got a question in the mailbag about it, but Reading's injury list just keeps on going at the moment. And it was a big opportunity for Reading going to Cardiff. Obviously, Cardiff came into the game on a run of four straight defeats, including a 5-1 loss to Blackburn the previous weekend and then a 4-0 defeat to West Brom in midweek. And the pressure was certainly growing on Mick McCarthy in the Bluebirds dugout. So to be honest, I think they were probably the perfect team really for Reading to face, considering Reading themselves were still very depleted, very tired. Obviously, I think the international break is certainly coming at just the right time for Reading, and so Cardiff were the perfect team for them to face, and perhaps against another team, Reading might not have come out on top, because certainly stats wise, it was absolutely all in Cardiff's favour. Apart from possession, actually, Reading actually had more possession, 51% to 49%. But I'm sure people have seen these stats by now. But Cardiff had 27 shots yesterday afternoon compared to Reading's 2. Five of those Cardiff shots were on target, so obviously some very, very poor finishing indeed from the Bluebirds, while also Reading's only shot on target was, of course, Junior Hoylett's winning goal. The XG is always quite funny to look at the XG in these situations, depending on where you get it from. The XG was Cardiff as high as 2.06. And Reading is low at 0.09. Obviously, Hoylett's goal, you know, was a very good finish. It wasn't a tap, and it was a nice sort of finish, bended round to the bottom corner from the edge of the box. Ben, it's always tough with these sorts of games. I mean, did Reading get lucky yesterday afternoon, or was it just was it that sort of defensive performance that we've been crying out for weeks now, and sort of Reading really digging deep to get 3 points?
I think, you know, originally on paper, that the game against Cardiff was potentially quite difficult because, you know, we looked, as Adam said, we looked spent in the second half against Derby. We really did. And you, looking at the injury list, you don't expect massive changes to come in for the Cardiff game. So in my head, I was kind of more concerned about what would happen on Saturday than the result on Wednesday, really. But, you know, I think most of us predicted on the predictions league, sort of a draw, and I would have been happy with a point yesterday. So to get all three is kind of like Christmas, really, because we're not in a great shape, squad depth. Everyone knows that. You know, as you said, the injuries are massive, but to be able to go there to really stick it to a team that are under a lot of pressure, you know, the manager and obviously the players as well. You know, they were getting a lot of heat from their fans yesterday. To come away with 3 points is phenomenal, and I think what we're seeing now from this Reading side is a much stronger resilience, a much clearer game management plan, and a much more kind of sensible approach you know, to getting points on the board and to kind of trying to move up the league, really. I think if we'd said at the start of the season, you know, would we be looking at this game and trying to get some points out of it? Yeah, for sure. But given our start and the way things worked out in the end, you know, to get maximum points was really positive based on where we've been. I think Liam Moore coming back into the side was brave, because on the whole, I think defensively we've been quite good the last few games, even with those kind of the shuffling around. But, you know, it proved to work and it proved to be sort of the second clean sheet that we'd had this season and in the week. So, you know, all in all, very, very positive. I thought, yeah, we were lucky, of course, we kind of weathered the storm quite well. Cardiff will be absolutely furious, and it may well cost Mick McCarthy's job in the next couple of days. But from our point of view, with the kind of the rumours circulating and with the points deductions, we just need to concentrate on getting as many points as possible on the board, so that, you know, if and when that points deduction does come, we don't get really, you know, shafted and thrown into the relegation zone. So absolutely delighted with yesterday. Really, really was, you know, defensively great. Took the chance, the 50% of the chances that we had. Great strike from, you know, someone who is rapidly becoming my favourite Reading player of all time. You know, absolutely love Junior Hoylett, as I've said many times. So, yeah, long may it continue. It's an exciting time now. We're kind of looking up rather than down, and hopefully the points deduction won't be as heavy as we think it will be, and we can kind of stick in and around the mid-table and see what happens from there. But very, very pleased with yesterday. You know, manager at the end of the game was obviously pleased, and a lot of the players were too. So, yeah, delighted that we can head into the international break with a +3 in the column.
Yeah, I think the key term you mentioned there was game management. You know, we've complained so many times, really, well, particularly at the start of the season, about Reading's lack of game management and Panos' lack of game management. You know, conceding the late winners against Stoke and against Coventry, and obviously throwing away the 3-1 lead against QPR as well, but he got it spot on yesterday. I think that sub bringing on Scott Down for George Puskas just after the hour mark, it's one of those that if Reading go and concede an equaliser, a late equaliser, then that's all that fans can talk about, bringing George Puskas off for Scott Down. But it worked. Reading got the clean sheet. And Adam, it was the third game in a week involving Reading that's finished 1-0, obviously beating Middlesbrough and then losing to Derby and then beating Cardiff. But does that show now that, you know, considering, as I say, you know, earlier in the season, these goals were flying in at both ends of the pitch, really. And it's certainly a good sign now that Reading are learning to win these cagey games, and they are starting to pick up clean sheets.
Yeah, 100%. And I think there's one man, you know, a lot of people may not kind of appreciate it. I think there's one man who's been absolutely key in that, and I think it's Danny Drinkwater. He's shown his Premier League class over the last couple of games. I know that he's dividing opinion over like different social media platforms, but I really like Danny Drinkwater. You know, cool and so calm in possession. Yes, he does give the ball away on the odd occasion, and maybe that's from having too much composure, but he's just as cool as a cucumber in the middle of the park. You know, helps to get us out of that danger for the most part. And also vital as well, you know, if we want to, you know, play out from back and build attacks and that sort of thing. You know, so I have to hold my hand up and say that I was wrong about Drinkwater coming in. You know, I would have preferred Lewis Baker to come in as maybe a more of a longer term signing. But, you know, Drinkwater has come in with the right kind of mindset, the right attitude. And that will only help as well with Scott Dan coming in as well. I think, you know, he's another fantastic signing. And he will help us to grind out, you know, those tight wins. So yeah, I'm a lot more impressed now with our game management, and I think it also helps having, you know, an orthodox left back there with Rahman, and also being able to put Yeardon out on the right, because it gives us that little bit of balance in defence, and that can only help us defensively, you know, with the back line. So yeah, it's good stuff. And also, you know, we have a fresh combination in midfield, you know, and you know, if we get, you know, some of our players back, then, you know, we can have a little bit more competition in there, and that, you know, that can only help with performance levels and kind of providing that shield in front of the defence. So yeah, I've been really impressed. But the one man who I think deserves a massive shout out for that and for his composure is Drinkwater.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm also eating humble pie on on Danny Drinkwater. I certainly had my concerns when it was rumored that he was coming in. I voiced them on this podcast, but yeah, no, he's proven me and he's proven several others wrong at the moment. You can see his quality in that midfield. I think that was always my concern, was that was he going to be up for games? Was he going to be able to show that quality? But yeah, so far he's been excellent. As have all the new signings, to be honest. And one other man, of course, that we must pick out is Luke Southwood in that Reading goal, his second clean sheet in the space of a week. And he's just been a reason really why Reading have looked just generally more solid. I mean, not necessarily the saves that he makes, but I think it's particularly the way that he sort of commands his box and sort of guides his defenders, which is brilliant to see for someone who is still a relatively young, relatively inexperienced goalkeeper. You know, he's not afraid to put his body on the line. You know, Matt Crooks got sent off for sort of sliding into him last week. And, you know, James Collins was probably a bit fortunate not to have been sent off for sort of a similar offence this week. Southwood emerged with a cut right underneath his eye at the end of yesterday's game. But Ben, I mean, for somebody who had sort of one championship appearance to his name before this season, I mean, he's been incredible, hasn't he, for the last few games. And surely now the number one shirt is his to lose.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to Drinkwater, I actually said he'd be all right. I think on the same podcast where you said he wasn't going to be, Ollie. So I'm quite pleased with myself that that's worked out quite well. Shame I can't do it properly in the predictions league or with my own fantasy team. But with Drinkwater, I've proved to be right at the moment. So again, I'm quite pleased with myself there. I think with Southwood, like he said, he played that game last year, didn't he? And he was not great and he didn't fill me with confidence. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. And he was just very shaky and very nervous. And you think, all right, I mean, I don't have a massive, I know a lot of fans have a massive issue with Raphael. I think he's all right as a shot stopper. I think he's quite good. But he gets injured for what we believe to be a very petulant act, which at the time was just something that we really didn't need. And then you're looking in the week thinking, okay, Southwood's going to start the next game, and there's a little bit of uncertainty there. But yeah, I mean, he's been phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And again, I think part of the reason, the same with McIntyre and Holmes last year, is that when they're thrown into this and they've been in the club for so long and they've come through the academy and they get, you know, the mentality of what the football club have tried to do and have been trying to do for years, if that helps as well, you know, the fans will just take to him because. It's cheesy, but that one of our own business is true, because he's come through, he's paid his dues, he's learned from good people, he's kind of bided his time on the bench, and he's been absolutely brilliant. And we all know that confidence is so key with football players, and the more you are playing and the kind of the better those performances come, it will just grow and grow and grow. Of course, he's got natural ability, but you know, you think about all the things you had to deal with in front of him. And that even when, you know, we've got Loren and Yeardham last week, everyone just looks so comfortable in the defence. So comfortable. You know, he mentioned the sending off last week. It wasn't a sending off, let's be honest. It was ridiculous from the referee, but it worked in our favour. And again, yesterday, he's putting himself on the line and he's just working really hard. And there will still be people out there that says, oh, Raphael's a number one keeper. I don't understand that argument, because you're only number one if you're playing. So, you know, there's no reason for him to come back in at the moment. It's great to have him there. Of course it is, as a backup. But yeah, there's no reason to take Southwood out of the team at the moment, because he's playing well. And he's had a very fortunate let-in because of, as we said, Raphael's injury. But, he could potentially be the next best goalkeeper at the club if he continues to work with what he's got and progress in. The other positive thing I'm led to believe is that he's under contract as well, which is good. So we're not going to be in a situation where we might end up leaving for free, which is what we tend to do as a club, isn't it, these days? So, yeah, very, very pleased with Southwood. And I just hope that he continues to flourish in the right way and get games and just keep performing to what he's capable of doing, really. But, yeah, well done, Luke. Really, really pleased with what you've done so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's a case of these academy players, you know, getting a chance in the first team, you know, albeit in Southwood's case, in slightly strange circumstances with Raphael's antics after the QPR game, but Southwood has certainly taken the opportunity with both hands, no pun intended there. At the other end of the pitch, you know, we've mentioned them already, the match winner, Junior Hoylett. I can imagine such a special moment for him scoring against his former club. Obviously, no celebration out of respect, but I think, particularly considering Mick McCarthy sort of just pretty much discarded him when he came in at Cardiff last season. Hoylett played in McCarthy's first game in charge and then didn't feature again under McCarthy before he was let go in the summer. So I can imagine it was quite a sweet moment for him to strike the winner and potentially even get McCarthy sacked with that goal. And Adam, you mentioned it earlier, but it's these new signings having just such a fantastic impact on the team. You know, we saw Alan Hillovich got the winner against Middlesbrough last weekend. Tom Dedibashir also got his goals against Peterborough and has been brilliant in midfield. And, you know, we've mentioned Drinkwater and Babaraman as well. And, you know, we sat here sort of at the end of the last month or so, sort of going into the last international break and sort of hoping that these new signings would improve the side, sort of take them to the next level. But I think, to be honest, they've sort of all gone above and beyond my expectations. And, you know, we're really seeing that, particularly considering the constraints that Reading were under in the summer, the fact that they only bring in loan signings and free transfers, they've managed to add in a remarkable amount of quality. And they've all, you know, even Scott Down coming off the bench yesterday, sort of helping see out the clean sheet. They've all sort of taken this team to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I was looking at some of these signings, Halilovic, Drinkwater, Rahman, and thinking these guys are actually going to be absolutely fantastic or they're going to be disastrous signings. There's no real in between at the moment. They're proven to be fantastic. I think with Hoyler, he gives us, he's actually an orthodox winger, which I'm really pleased that we managed to get in, you know, one in the summer. We could have done perhaps with another one. But of course, you know, with the restrictions, I kind of understand why we didn't. Because I think Ajaria and Halilovic kind of similar in some ways. So I think it's good that we do have Hoyler in there just to kind of give us something, you know, down the wing. Fantastic finish yesterday afternoon. You know, and those kind of moments of quality can prove to be crucial as they did yesterday. And as you said, yeah, it must be, you know, a great feeling to score against his old club. You know, especially after being left out in the cold by Mick McCarthy. So yeah, I'm very pleased for him, and hopefully he can, you know, show, you know, even more, you know, in the coming months. I think he'll be crucial, you know, with all the injuries and that sort of thing. Hopefully Halilovic's one isn't too much. I mean, from Paolo's comments, you know, post-match yesterday, it seems to be a lot more promising than first thought. So yeah, he's been fantastic as well at the moment. We just need consistency. He's being consistent at the moment, but he just needs to show it throughout the season. Scott Dan, we haven't seen too much of him, but I still think he'll be a fantastic signing. We haven't conceded a goal since he's been on the pitch. I know he hasn't been on the pitch that long, but, you know, it's still good. And especially, you know, with him keeping a clean sheet, you know, late on against Cardiff, I think he'll be a fantastic asset. You know, one of our best signings, Dedibashiru, has been a decent asset so far. Speaking to one of my friends who's supports Watford, and he said, look, he's probably one of the best players for Watford, you know, before his injury that he picked up against us. So, yeah, I think he's been, you know, good. Who else? Rahman, I think he's been very good. I know Simeon said the other night that he did look sluggish, and I completely agree with that. You know, maybe that's kind of natural, and we'll see him kind of continue to build his fitness after the international break. But it's so good to have an orthodox left back in there. You know, he may not be, you know, pulling up trees or being absolutely brilliant, but I think he's been reasonably solid and makes a huge difference in that defence in terms of balance. So, you know, the limited tools that we've had to work with in the summer window, you know, considering our recruitment in, you know, years gone by, I think it's been, you know, a very productive transfer window, and fair play to the recruitment team, because these signings at the moment are paying off. But consistency is the key word, and they need to perform throughout, you know, the whole season.
100%. Yeah, I think obviously, you know, one player has sort of been the example of maybe poor recruitment over the last few years. Maybe that's slightly harsh. It is George Puskas, who again had another difficult game. And, you know, I don't like or enjoy sort of bashing George Puskas week after week, but, you know, this was his 16th consecutive appearance without a goal. As I say, he was subbed off on 66 minutes for Scott Dan, and certainly his reaction when he was subbed, he didn't seem happy at all. And I think it's probably hard to tell whether that's frustration at himself for not performing, or you know, frustration at the manager for taking him off. But Ben, I mean, it feels like we always sort of seem to have the same discussion on George Puskas. You know, is it a lack of service? You know, he doesn't fit into the system that the Panarins doesn't want to play, or is it just simply that he himself is just not performing to the standard that he should be?
It's a bit of both, I think. We've said time again, there's literally no point playing him if you're going one up front. You know, if you've got Jao up there, yeah, great, brilliant. You know, he's a talisman. He was last year, certainly for three quarters of the season. He can hold the ball up. You know, he can muscle defenders out of the way. Puskas is annoying to defenders because he doesn't stop and he keeps chasing balls down. But there is no point in playing up front in a one. There really isn't. And I won't take anything to the contrary on that because he needs that support up there to kind of play those balls into feet. You know, there was a game, the Middlesbrough game, where we were just lumping balls up the top. And it was just like, I don't understand this. You know, I really don't, from the player's point of view. And you can see why he's getting frustrated because, of course, he needs a goal. You know, any striker will need to be able to do that. But it's kind of disheartening in a way. I know that obviously Pan is playing him because he feels that that's the right thing to do, but I just don't see the logic in it anymore. You know, if we're going to play him, let's at least try and adapt our system to fit around him a little bit. Could he be doing more? Yeah, of course. But again, it's 50-50 in this particular situation. And I honestly feel if we started putting someone next to him up front, you'd see a lot more from Puskas getting him behind and getting the ball on the floor and kind of the goals that he's used to scoring. But I just, you know, from the club's point of view now, the more he doesn't score, the more his value will dwindle, and it will just be another situation where we're looking at it again. You know, to be blunt, we spent $7 million on this player and very little returns. It's very, very difficult. I, at the moment, while the team are winning, he can probably get away with it a bit more. But you're right, we don't want to go down that route of bashing our players and criticising them too much, really. They have to play within the system and the system has to kind of play for them as well. And neither of those things are happening. And that's why we've got this horrific drought going on with them at the moment. So we'll see how that one plays out. I would imagine he'll go away with Romania. I'm not sure if he's in the squad or not, but I would assume that he is. See how he gets on there. But it's just, you know, the more it goes on, the confidence is going to dwindle and it's not going to get better. Unless something drastically changes within the system, I think.
Yeah, we've got a question on George Puskas in the mailbag, sort of what the future holds for him and who Paolo starts up front. So we'll leave that one until then. Finally, just a note on this, which was sort of the lasting image of the win over Cardiff yesterday, was the really nice moment for Paolo at the end of the game, going over to the travelling fans and celebrating with them. I suspect a lot of those fans were probably calling for his head a few weeks ago, but I think that just sort of sums up the magnificent job that he's done over the last month, sort of winning back that support. You know, four wins from six games, one draw, one defeat since the last international break. I mean, as I say, Adam, I think a month or so ago, I think very few people probably saw a future for Veljko Paunovic at Reading, but the job he's done over the last month, and it's brilliant for him to have that sort of moment yesterday, particularly obviously last season when we were doing very well and obviously fans weren't allowed in the stadiums, home or away. It was great for him yesterday to have that moment of sort of connection with the fans yesterday.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for me, like a month ago, I wasn't Pano in or out, to be honest with you. I think, you know, I thought we were doomed at that point. I have to be completely honest, just after the poor start that we'd had compared to the start that we'd had to the 2020-21 campaign. I know that it wasn't going to be exactly the same with the seven wins and the one draw in the first eight games. But, you know, I was, you know, quite panicky at that point. I have to be honest with you. But, yeah, he's done a fantastic job, you know, over the past month or so. And, you know, you can only commend him for that, really. And has really turned it around. And I guess the new signings have helped. I think they have helped. But, you know, he also has to take his fair share of credit as well. Has made the right decisions. I think he made the right decision, actually, yesterday afternoon. You know, I thought of it and I was like, oh, no, like taking Puskas off for Scott Dan. But then you look at it and you're thinking, okay, this actually makes sense here. This will allow, you know, Laurent maybe to go back in the midfield and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it was, I think, probably one of the lowest points, even though we were facing a high-flying side, was against QPR. So it isn't exactly the reaction since the international break. I think it's been the reaction since the QPR game, because I think a lot of people were furious, you know, being 3-1 up in the 77th minute and then going on to draw 3-3. So, you know, the way he's managed to pick up his players and as I think he's made better decisions over the past month, and I think it's paid dividends for him. So, yeah, I'm glad to see, you know, the scenes yesterday, and long may it continue. And as I said, you know, I said it, you know, in my last bit, but consistency will be key and will be kind of determine whether he keeps his job or not. So, yeah, I'm hoping for him. You know, I'm hoping that he does well, because he's been hamstrung really with, you know, transfer embargoes and injuries. And that's why I've never been Panner out, is because, you know, I think any manager would have struggled. So fair play to him. And yeah, long may it continue.
Let's hear from the man himself then. We'll go into the mailbag in a minute. But first up, here's Veljko Panovic's verdict on the win over Cardiff yesterday.
Fantastic team win, fantastic defensive performance, another clean sheet, and a team spirit. I think everything is... everything today we needed to have out there, I think we had. I believe games like these are not always nice to play, and it's you can't choose the way how you're going to win the games, but today we put what we needed to have. Spirit, intelligence, courage, and energy, especially in those moments where we were struggling, when they were pushing forward and creating a lot of crosses, putting a lot of crosses into our box. I think we managed very well. And again, I don't know who had a better defensive performance. Those look on the goal, all four at the back. Then Scott also, when he came off, came on, also providing the experience and providing his qualities. Together with the midfielders shifting and running and helping our fullbacks to prevent those crosses, and ultimately also our strikers, Puskas and Jamari later, and in moments when Junior played higher up, huge effort to push them back and to keep them far from our goal. So team performance, complete team performance.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Okie dokie, mailbag time then. As seems to always be the case after a win, it's a slightly smaller mailbag as compared to is after a defeat. Obviously, people have less to complain about. But yeah, plenty of positive comments after the win yesterday. Kev O'Brien says, anything in life better than winning a game 1-0 away, where the home team have pelted you with shots, albeit not great ones. Hashtag smash and grab. Yeah, absolutely. As we've said, that there is no better feeling than that, particularly going away from home. Not a particularly nice day in Cardiff either yesterday. So to come away with the win and the clean sheet, absolutely all worth it. Andrew Butcher says, have Cardiff managed to score yet? Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it's much fun being a Cardiff fan at the moment. I think it's 5 straight defeats for them now. Obviously, not playing the best football under Mick McCarthy. And obviously, their former player scoring the winner against them yesterday. So I can't imagine it's much fun. As I say, Mick McCarthy still in the job as we're recording, but wouldn't be a surprise at all to see him leave his position this international break. Eddie Corr says, Højlund or Puskas up top after the international break. Adam, we obviously discussed Puskas just then, and obviously what the future holds for him. I think it's probably fair to say that Panovic really is only playing Puskas up front at the moment, because he has very few other options. Obviously, Lucas Shaw out injured. Jamari Clark probably not quite ready to be starting games. Obviously, Junior Højlund has played there, obviously played there yesterday when Puskas came off. You know, Ben's had his say, but Adam, for you, is it Højlund or Puskas as the striker after the international break?
I think it has to be Højlund. I feel sorry for Puskas. He seems like another bulldog where you can't really play him up front on his own. He's shown flashes of like him being quite good. You know, there was one brilliant bit of link-up play that he showed yesterday afternoon, so I was quite pleased with that, but it's not consistent enough. He doesn't show enough for me to warrant being in the starting 11. So, yeah, it is a massive shame. He almost looks defeated in a way, Puskás. As I said, flashes of brilliance. We know he can, put in good performances up front on his own, but he just hasn't done it consistently enough, and that's going to cost us. So, yeah, I'd go with Højlund in the next game. But if Halilović is injured and we haven't got anyone else really to go on that right-hand side, then I'd stick Højlund there and try Clark up front. I have to be honest with you. He doesn't exactly look fully ready, but I think he has the stature and perhaps the qualities to go on and make some sort of an impact. But as Ben said, we need to adapt our system to fit Puskás in it. There's absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. You could argue potentially that he's had 2 years to adapt to the system, but maybe he's just not that type of striker really to play up front on his own. So as I said, another Baldock maybe. But I was saying at the start of the summer that we probably should have brought in a striker. And I think a lot of people are thinking, wingers and left back were the priority. But even without, the injury to Lucas Joao, I think we needed another striker, especially with, a senior man. He may not have been that effective, but with Baldock going. And obviously Melvin Lambert's out on loan as well. So that's, another thing which isn't fantastic for us. But I have to go with Højlund, to be honest with you, ahead of Puskás. We're continuing with the same system. I do want Puskás to do well, but it's just not working out at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just a sort of final point on the whole Puskás discussion. I think I probably speak for everyone in saying, I want nothing more than George Puskás to go and score a hat trick against Barnsley after the international break. I want him to do well, so badly. But ultimately, a striker's job is to score goals, and he's not doing that at the moment. But as I say, I want for nothing more than for him to go on a really decent scoring streak and sort of really be that main man for Reading until Lucas Joao comes back. Speaking of injuries, Mike Stagg says, "Whose soul do we have to sell for no more injuries?" That injury list just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. Andy Yeardon picked up an injury against Cardiff, adding to the already lengthy injury list, which I will read out a reminder of now. The injury list currently stands at Tom McIntyre, Michael Morrison, Tom Holmes, Dejan Tetek, Andy Rinnemutter, Felipe Araruna, Alan Halilović, Femi Azeez, Lucas Joao, and Yaku Mate. You can probably make a pretty decent starting 11 out of that group of players, minus a goalkeeper. Panarić did say after the game yesterday that hopefully Tetek and Halilović's injuries won't be long-term, and they would be back after the international break. Obviously, Liam Moore coming back yesterday was a bit of a surprise. So hopefully sort of a few more, this 2 week break now, a few more can come back and the squad can look a little bit stronger after the international break. On a similar theme, George Lepree says, "Do we have to rest and rotate a bit more? Constantly playing the same team for 90 minutes three times a week will result in more injuries. While it seems mad to leave injury prone players like Swift and Ajari out for a game, we could lose them for the season if we're not careful. Appreciate the lack of strength on the bench, but with the current rate of 2 to 3 injuries a week, they are going to be playing at some point anyway. Playing them for the odd game with experienced players is better than suddenly having to play 4 or 5 together because everyone is injured." Ben, obviously, we mentioned earlier that perhaps that Derby game was a step too far with sort of the injured players coming in. And I think, you look at the bench yesterday against Cardiff, obviously you had Raphael and Scott Dan, but then the rest of it is made up of youngsters in Ethan Bristow, Michael Stickler and Claudio Osorio, Jamari Clark and Kelvin Ihibishanham. I certainly have butchered that, but I thought I'd give it a go. It's a tricky one, isn't it, Ben? Because I think we've spoken about game management, but it's also now about squad management. As I say, hopefully a couple more players come back in after the international break. But George is right. We have players like certainly John Swift, who does have a patchy injury record in the past. Obviously, he's been a massive player for Reading this season, but does it come to a point where he's not quite been the influence that he was early in the season, particularly against Derby and against Cardiff yesterday? He didn't really stand out. Is it a case you have to manage these players now to make sure you get the best out of them?
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? You know, to get to a point where we can do that. I mean, I'm more concerned about people like Drinkwater who haven't had a lot of football in them for the last couple of years and suddenly sort of playing sort of 90 minutes every week. I mean, you'd hope the conditioning is right, but, you know, we don't really know what the situation is. We've got a mix of fairly unfortunate long-term injuries, but also we keep getting these little niggles and these kind of short-term with sort of 2-3 weeks or whatever. So there is an argument that the condition and the performance of the players in training isn't maybe managed. And I know Pan has kind of said, look, it's to do with the kind of thrust of the league, but it's no different to what any other team's going through. And I don't see their injuries mounting up the way ours are. So I think there's something that probably needs to be looked at there, really. But yeah, for sure, you'd want to be in a situation where you can rotate, and we'd want to be, you know, even with 3 or 4 of those players back, you'd want to sort of, you know, start to be guessing what the team might be. But at the moment, we could all predict what, if it stays the same way, what it'd be for Barnsley and moving forward. So it is a concern and it is frustrating. But the flip side of that, of course, is that once you get more of those players back, you know, we're going to look very, very strong, and we're going to have a very, you know, very deep element to the squad that where players can come in and perform at a high level and do well. So it's tricky. And I think that's credit to the players on the pitch to have kept going. Obviously, you know, Panovic to get the absolute best out of those players. Obviously mentioned Derby where they look very tired, but that's kind of the only game recently where I think our performance has dropped off in terms of intensity, really. I think that we've been quite lucky with the international breaks as well. This one's perfect because, you know, as he said, there'd be 2 or 3 players that would hopefully come back after that for the Barnsley game. So we're getting lucky in some respects, but very unlucky in others. And I think, you know, we'd all love to get to a stage where we've got an opportunity to rotate and rest those players. But again, while they're playing well, it's very difficult to play that team anyway. You know, we talked about Southwood earlier with competition Raphael. The more they're playing well, the more they're going to keep the jersey in the shirt. So yeah, it is frustrating, but I think we'll get to a point where we've got those players back and we'll be in a much better condition moving forward.
I think that's what really excites me, to be honest. The fact that we are grinding out these results with the squad as it is, but we've got so many, you know, as I say, pretty much a whole starting 11 of players still to come back at various points in both the short term and the long term. You know, it's obviously, you know, points of action pending. You know, there's certainly an awful lot of potential in the squad. You know, when you were speaking there, I just sort of thought back to Liam Moore's Instagram post that I saw yesterday. I thought it was worth reading it out. He just said, we've had sheer bad luck recently on the injury front, and today was no different. But as seen over the last few weeks, when you have a group of people pulling in the same direction, you can achieve good things. And it certainly seems to be a real good team spirit and team morale around the group at the moment. And, you know, we saw the celebrations yesterday. And yes, obviously, it's a lot easier to show that and to see that after a win. But I think, you know, we're seeing in both the players and in Pano now sort of the fight and the desire that he can inspire in this group of players. To be honest, not many managers have been able to do over the last couple of years. So credit to both the manager and to the players that have played the last couple of weeks for that. Right then, that's the mailbag all wrapped up. Remember, you can get in touch for future episodes of the show by sending us an email at thetylerstand@gmail.com or send us a message on Twitter or on Facebook. But for now, let's head into News Bites.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow The Tylehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetylehurstend@gmail.com.
Right, wrapping up a few of the results around Reading at the moment. The women's team, unfortunately, carried on their disappointing start to the season last weekend in the WSL. It was their third defeat in a row against Tottenham Hotspur, losing 1-0. That leaves them 11th out of 12 in a WSL with no points and no goals to their name, unfortunately. They play Everton at the Select Car Leasing Stadium at 2 p.m. This Sunday afternoon, so they'll likely have finished playing, or they might still be playing by the time you're listening to this, in which case hopefully they are winning slash hopefully they won. But yeah, hopefully they sort of start to pick up. So it's been a difficult start to the season for them, sort of a high turnover of players in the summer in Kelly Chambers' side. So taking a little bit of time to gel together. But hopefully, I think Everton aren't doing too well either. I think Everton have only got one win from their first three games. So hopefully a result this afternoon can help kickstart their season in a WSL. The under-23s lost 3-1 to Burnley last Monday. That's three games without a win for Mehmet Ali's side. They are 11th out of 14 in the Premier League 2 Division 2. They're also in action at the Select Car Leasing Stadium on Monday night. They're playing Birmingham City. So get down and show your support for that one. I presume it's free tickets. It usually is. For the 23s games at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. So if you are free on Monday evening, go down and support the boys. I think I know they really sort of, you know, appreciate and obviously love playing in front of the crowd at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. So if you can head down, please do. And the under-18s drew 3-3 with Crystal Palace on Saturday, and they host Chelsea at Bearwood next week. They are 12th out of 14 in the under-18 Premier League. And a reminder, of course, that you can find reports from both women's teams and the under-23s games. We've got dedicated reporters for both teams now on the Tyler Stern website. Some really, really good stuff over the last couple of weeks in terms of reports and analysis for both the women's and the 23s. So do go and check that out and keep an eye out for them, usually sort of the same day as or the morning after the games up on the Tyler Stern website. A podcast exclusive for you. I can officially announce that Luke Southwood is the Tyler Stend Player of the Month for September. We had the vote last week, and I think we'll be announcing on the site either this afternoon or on Monday. But you know, we discussed how good Southwood has been since coming into the team earlier in the podcast. So very fully deserved for him. Tom Delibashiru came second and John Swift came third. Swift obviously winning the August Player of the Month, but very well done to Luke Southwood for winning the accolade in September. And also some news, of course, from Star, which I know, Ben, you're going to talk about. There was the operations meeting with the club last week, and also another meeting, I believe, tomorrow on Monday. If you could give us a little bit of an update of what's been happening behind the scenes at the club and at Star.
Yeah, for sure. So it's been difficult, really, from Star's point of view, because obviously the start of the season wasn't good. There was a lot of unrest with transfers and lack of communication, or perceived lack of communication from the club. And obviously, you know, some of that was rightly or wrongly levelled at Star as an organisation. So from my point of view, as most people know, I'm kind of new to it, kind of officially joined the board in September. And so it's been pretty busy on that side since then, really. There's a lot of things in the pipeline, a lot of things that are being actioned. So just to give kind of people a very brief rundown of it, we have separate meetings with different people at the club. So Thursday, myself and Paula, who's the chair of Star, attended a meeting with what are basically the heads of department at the club. So operations, to do with media, to do with merchandising, to do with catering, community trust, and so on. Stadium manager, you know, people like that. Now, originally what was going to happen was that the members of the board were going to join that meeting, but it was decided that it would be better to split those two meetings up. So Paula will meet some of the board members, Dayong, tomorrow as well, to talk about the list of questions that we gathered sort of earlier on in the season when things were getting quite heated. And it was a good opportunity to do that, to kind of take the temperature of the fans. And, you know, Star acts or has the intentions to act as the you know, spokespeople for members and non-members alike. So the notes that were created from the meeting on Thursday are already on the website. There will be a rundown of the conversations had tomorrow, later on in the week, on the website as well. So kind of what we're looking to do is kind of re-engage with the club, and it has been difficult because of COVID restrictions and not being able to get hold of people, and you know, the employees of the club are under a lot of strain, because obviously, as we know, that the workforce has been depleted, but the work level has stayed the same. And there are a lot of people there that want to move the club forward and work with the supporters. So, you know, Star is kind of reinvigorising and re-engaging in those discussions. And if there is anything that anyone ever wants to bring up, however trivial it may be or may seem, you know, please get in touch with Star because we will always put it to the club. The operations meetings will now happen every 5 to 6 weeks. So we've got an open dialogue with the club there in terms of, you know, fan experience and what the match days are like and kind of situations around that. In terms of the board, we have two of those every season, maybe more potentially moving forward. But at the moment, kind of the contract there is that we have two with them to discuss, you know, things like finance, player contracts to a point, transfer policy, all those kind of heavier items. So, you know, from my point of view, it is starting to move and we are hopefully getting some answers to the questions that people want to know. I was at the club on Friday to meet with the chief safety officer, a guy called David Parker, who is just an incredible guy, really, really enthusiastic. And I will work with him on the Barnsley game. I'll kind of shadow him for the day just to see what it's like match by match. And to be honest, see what level of stewarding is like, any issues they encounter, any issues our fans encounter and stuff like that. And then obviously, you know, report back in terms of what I see. So we are moving things forward. And you know, I agree that maybe communication has not been brilliant from both sides, but we're moving that forward. And, you know, ultimately we all want a harmonious club and we want to move it forward and do the best that we can for everyone involved. So it's just important we keep that open dialogue and kind of keep moving forward with both the fans and the club. And we kind of sit in the middle of that really as a Star organisation. So if there is anything that anyone ever wants to get in touch with, then please just, you know, let me know or let Star know, and we can go from there and put this to the club.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, well, hopefully, obviously no podcast next week because of the international break, but hopefully in a fortnight time after the Barnsley game, we might be able to bring you some details of sort of what went down and sort of the meeting notes from the meeting with the board members on Monday. So hopefully some good news to come from that. As I say, yeah, no podcast next week, but we will look ahead to the international break and sort of the Barnsley game after that in big match preview.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Rs!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
It is indeed the international break now. Reading not in action for the next fortnight before playing Barnsley at home on October the 16th. Obviously, Ben, we spoke about it earlier, but sort of we went into the last international break sort of wondering about Kapanović's future, sort of asking what he needed to do to sort of keep his job. And I think I even sort of suggested and probably thought that maybe this October international break, you know, could be sort of the period when he gets sacked. But, you know, just looking at the turnaround over the last month, you know, 21st place going into the September international break and now obviously 10th and 2 points off the playoffs with that. So that points deduction potentially hanging over us. I mean, try and sort of sum up sort of the turnaround in both the performances and in sort of the general mood in the fan base, you know, sort of going into the September international break and now going into October's international break.
Well, I think the biggest thing is obviously the points deduction. We can't get away from that. I think there's still I know there's still quite a lot of anxiety. I mean, I'm anxious about it myself, really. But the point is we're in a situation now where we've got 16 points. You know, if it was, if the points deduction was six, that drops down to 10, which puts in a good position still anyway. So I think the September one was just, you know, sheer frustration because the results and the performances were not good and they weren't at the level that we hoped and probably expected from the side. You know, those new signings were sort of still bedding in and settling down. And I think it's credit to Panovic and his team to be able to get the mentality right of those players. You know, again, we talked about the Barnsley then being tired, but they didn't look like they weren't interested. They didn't look like they weren't trying to get a result because they were. And again, yesterday, you know, superb result, all things considered. So, you know, we've had some unexpected results, you know, namely the Fulham game, which was just incredible. Phenomenal performance there as well. So there seems to be a calming down of both expectations, but also from the players' point of view in terms of their sensibilities in the game and the game management, as we said earlier. You know, it's right to say that as a podcast and people on this podcast, we never wanted Panovic to be sacked, but we understood that it was a results business and you know, as you said, Ollie, we were pretty sure that if results didn't pick up, he would go in this window. That's obviously not going to happen now. And I'm pleased for him and the players that they've been able to turn it around. I think the key really heading into Barnsley is getting those players back into the squad and adding some depth. You know, we're playing a team that, again, are low on confidence. Lost, I think it was last minute, 8th minute, something like that, against Millwall yesterday, who again have had a brilliant start, sort of mid-table, fair to middling, a bit like us really. So, you know, they're not doing particularly well, and it's a good opportunity for us to play them in 2 weeks' time, having had a bit of a rest and get some more training in the legs. So yeah, I think on the whole that the mood is reasonably positive. I think that there still remains concerns about what will happen with the EFL, but most kind of sensible fans realise that's out of our hands now. You know, the damage has been done. We know what we've breached and what we haven't breached. It's just, we're just awaiting the punishment on that. And I think the team has shown enough that if there is a points deduction, they will still continue to go. And the mentality is such that they won't let that affect what happens on the pitch. And they'll keep continuing to pick up points here and there where they can.
It certainly feels, Adam, as if this break does come at just the right time for Reading. Obviously, you know, we are going into it with, you know, quite a lot of momentum, having won 3 of the last 4 games. But as we've mentioned, the squad does look tired. It's obviously depleted with the injuries. And obviously, despite the results, it certainly feels as if this 2-week break is now needed to hopefully get more players back. Hopefully, Tetek and Halilovic, first and foremost, are the two players that come back, and maybe a couple of others. I'm not too sure sort of how far away the likes of Michael Morrison or Tom Holmes are, for example. But I think certainly, you know, getting those players back for Barnsley now, having these 2 weeks to sort of just reset, you know, refresh, recharge, I think can only be a good thing.
Yeah, 100%. I think we might have to wait a while for the centre-backs to come back. I mean, I think Michael Morrison's injury is quite longer term. I thought Moore's injury would be that as well, after seeing footage of the studs going in, you know, into his leg, which was, yeah, it wasn't ideal. But he's come back, to fair play to him. I think we might have to wait quite a while for the likes of McIntyre, Morrison and Holmes to come back. So I think we'll definitely see Stickland kind of stay in there. Hopefully we can get Araruna back. You know, let's wait and see what happens with him. He doesn't really seem to stay fit really for more than a couple of games, but he can be utilised as a right back option if he can come back. So he's someone else that we could, you know, potentially have on the bench. Rinamota, I'm hoping, comes back. And as you said, Tetek Halilovic. But, you know, I thought Rinamota would be back by now, if I'm honest. But obviously there's something wrong there, but hopefully the international break will kind of pay dividends for him in terms of, you know, him making it a kind of recovery. Because I know we had Osorio on the bench yesterday, so it'll be good to have kind of that senior figure in the middle of the park there. Although it is good now that, you know, we've got Dan back, so that we, you know, potentially one of Lauren Drinkwater or Deli Bashiru might be on the bench. Who knows? It depends. Maybe we'll stick Deli Bashiru on the right. There's a part of me that's quite excited about having Clark and Ihib Hetiomahan. I think, you know, having them two guys up front, they look quite promising for the under-23s. So I think they could potentially bring something different. Perhaps if we stuck both on at the same time, or one of them up front, you know, with Puskás, I think that could be exciting. But, you know, I'd love to have Lucas Joao back and Yaku Mate. So, you know, it's about getting people back at the moment, you know, regardless of what you think about the likes of Liam Moore and others. It's just about getting senior players back now. So now that we can kind of push on and have that depth there, just in case we get more injuries, which we inevitably will. I mean, I don't believe we'll have a fully fit squad throughout the whole of the season, to be honest, but, well, especially Yaku Mate's ACL injury, but, you know, limiting the damage and getting as many players back as possible will be ideal for us.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Inamoto is probably the big one there for me, is that there's certainly probably going to be questions whether he even starts when he comes back. You know, given how well both Drinkwater and Deli Bashiru have done in the middle of the park, obviously Josh Laurent pushing back to centre back. So, as I say, it really excites me that when these players come back, whether, you know, whenever it might be, whether it's in after the international break or whether it's in the new year, whatever, that, you know, there's the makings of a really, really special squad here. Yeah, so it is 2 consecutive home games when the Championship returns after the international break. As I say, Barnsley on Saturday the 16th and then Blackpool on Wednesday the 20th. Barnsley having a surprisingly poor season, really, after sort of being the surprise package in the playoffs last season. In our TTE pre-season predictions, I think they were my one team to keep an eye on. Not necessarily for good reasons. Obviously, Valerian Ismail left in the summer, with Alex Moa and Daryl Dyke as well. But they haven't really managed to find their feet under Marcus Schopp. They're 22nd in the Championship table, so just inside the relegation zone. And as Ben mentioned, they conceded an 89th minute goal against Millwall to lose 1-0 yesterday. Just one win in 11 games to their name, Barnsley, this season. They've not won in their last 8 matches. Blackpool promoted, obviously, from League One last season. They also started fairly poorly, but have really picked up, much like Reading, since the last international break. Neil Critchley doing a fantastic job up at Blackpool. They're up to 12th in the Championship table with 3 wins in their last 4. So, you know, probably not what you'd have expected at the start of the season, but the Blackpool game will probably be a harder task for Reading than that Barnsley game. But on the face of it, Ben, it's certainly sort of a chance to, obviously, as I say, we're going into this break with some momentum, you know, 3 wins in 4. Hopefully that sort of continues throughout the 2 weeks. But certainly these 2 games now, particularly at home, you know, we've lost just 1 game in our last 12 in the league at home, which is a surprising record, actually, to be honest with you. But it's certainly a chance. Obviously, Barnsley having a very poor season, Blackpool doing well, but certainly are beatable, it would seem. It's definitely a chance to sort of carry on building some momentum and hopefully putting ourselves in as good a place as possible before this points deduction comes in.
Yeah, can I just say to both of you, the way that you're pronouncing Kelvin's surname is absolutely hilarious, but also admirable in equal measures. Like, you're both giving it a go. I
called him Kelvin a couple of weeks ago. I thought that's actually quite disrespectful. I thought I might as well just try and pronounce his surname. So apologies, Kelvin, if you are listening, I pronounced it horribly, but hopefully I've done enough to give it a go.
We need him to do one of those BBC Berkshire things. You know, when on the radio when they go, "Hi, I'm John Swift," and I'm we need him to do that. I mean, I might just call him like Mr. E or Big E or something. Oh no, I can't do that because of wrestling. But anyway, yeah, fair play to both of you. Fair play. I thought I was excellent. Right, Barnsley. Yeah, I'd expect us to win that game, if I'm honest. They have been struggling. They don't really appear to have settled into what, you know, the new guys expect them to do. I think, you know, discipline wise, you know, they had that thing with Stoke, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago, which just didn't look good for the league at all, or football in general. It was awful to watch, really. So I think there's clearly things going on at the club there that are not great. Obviously, performances haven't been brilliant, so I'd expect us to win that. Blackpool again, it's very difficult because I think we all tipped Blackpool to be struggling. I know it's still sort of reasonably early days, but they have done very well. Obviously, beating Blackburn yesterday, who have had a reasonable start to the season. So on paper, they're two games that you'd like to get 6 points out of. But again, it just comes down to that squad depth and what we're able to do in terms of rotation and you know, how they start back from the international break. I'd hope that we pick up where we left off, or where we have left off, in terms of the mentality and the intensity that we've been playing. But yeah, I mean, I would look for us to win that game against Barnsley and then see what happens with Blackpool and based on the performance, you know, against Barnsley and take that into midweek. But on paper, they're not the worst games to come back, really, from the 2 weeks off. So yeah, we'll see. It's exciting that we're sort of predicting or trying to predict positive results as opposed to us losing. I think the Barnsley game is very winnable. Blackpool, not sure, could be a bit iffy, really.
Yeah, we won't do exact score predictions just yet for the Barnsley game. Obviously, a lot could potentially change in the next couple of weeks. I will blow my own trumpet and say that I did get the 1-0 scoreline spot on for yesterday's game. Handbags and Sim also predicted wins in the prediction league, so they get 1 point each. So the standings at the moment, Westie still leads on 12 points. I'm in second on 9. Ben, you're on 6. Adam, you and Sim are both on 5. And then Mark and Dave Handbags Harris are on 4. As I say, things may change over the international break. More players may get injured. Hopefully some do come back. So we'll reserve predictions on Barnsley until closer to the time. So for now, that just about wraps up episode 274 of the Tyler Stern podcast. All that is left for me to say is thank you, Ben, for joining us today.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having me, and good to talk to you boys. And hope everyone has a good 2 weeks. Enjoy the internationals, and we'll see you back on the 16th.
And Adam, thank you very much as well.
No worries, no worries. Always a pleasure, always a pleasure.
And thank you at home for listening as well. As I say, as it is the international break, there'll be no show next week, but Mark will be then back in a fortnight's time after the Barnsley game. So keep an eye out for that one. Until then, keep dreaming in clean sheets and keep praying for no more injuries. Come on, you Arse.